Amen. Amen. Giving honor to God, who's the head of my life, to our deacons, and little junior deacons, and our musicians, mothers, everyone in their respective places. Amen. I thank God for this opportunity to stand before you and preach God's word and just tell you how awesome our God is. Amen. Amen. We serve an awesome God, and I am thankful to stand before you and share the good news. Amen. Turn to Malachi. Amen. Our choir sound really, really good. Amen. The reason why I said that is because I was some years ago, almost 20 some years ago, attended a church service, and a friend of mine said that the pastor, I couldn't believe that she, you know, shared this with me, but she was attending the church, and she said that the pastor laughed at the choir and said that the choir sounded terrible. And I said, no, are you kidding me? She said, no. She said, the pastor actually did that. And I was stunned. I thought, okay, at some point she's going to give a punchline and say, you know, I was just joking, I was just kidding. But she never retracted her statement. And she said that the pastor did it on Sunday morning and said that. And I couldn't believe what I was hearing, but she didn't back down from it. And she, and of course that pastor is no longer, you know, at that church, but I just couldn't believe that you would say something like that openly, you know, in the midst of the congregation. We should be encouraging one another. We should be helping each other. But I see it's easy for us to put down on one another. We're quick to do that. But the choir, in all honesty, you sounded really well. Man, you sounded great. Malachi. What chapter did I say? What verse? I don't know if I said six, but y'all got it. I know it is. Y'all ain't got to tell me that. I'm just saying, I don't know if I said six, but at least y'all paying attention. I know y'all with me. Amen. That's all that matters. Amen. Amen. I know you with me. Amen. That was a test. And you passed. Amen. My grandfather would do stuff like that. Malachi chapter 3, verse 6. For I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. Amen. For the reading, hearers, and doers of God's word. Amen. God knows how difficult life can be. Everyone has felt like giving up at some point or another on this Christian journey. Amen. I know that we get to the point in our life where, you know, as we are walking this walk of Christian faith, we get discouraged. And we get to the point where we say, man, forget it. I'm sick of that. I'm tired of this. You know, God knows that. He's saying that, for I am the Lord. I change not. God never changes his mind, his purpose, or his nature. He does not change. Time changes, as we just had that effect. We had to spring forward, right? You know, some of y'all are mad because you lost an hour of sleep. But that's just the way that it is. We like that time where it falls back. We get an extra hour. Amen? I remember, Lord, I remember I was working down at St. Mary's on night shift in X-ray. And man, I said, oh,
Time falls back. I said, that means I got to be here an extra hour? And I said, oh. And then I saw the clocks at St. Mary's. They were all or in sequence where they all would just go backwards. And I looked at that clock. I said, look at that. Ain't that something? I said, nah, I'm here for another hour, an hour that I've already worked. I said, man, ain't this about something? But the good thing about it, on your paycheck, you got that extra. But you didn't see it because it was taken out in taxes. But time changes, people changes, church changes. Everything changes, but God never changes. Now, you would think that the church wouldn't change, but unfortunately, you're dealing with people, you're dealing with man. But God's word stays the same. What I mean by churches changes, churches will alter to the times. Amen? They were kind of soften up their doctrine to get people to fill seats and stuff like that, but ain't preaching the word of God. As I said before, some of these mega churches are a mile long but an inch deep. Amen? So we can take great comfort in knowing that God never changed. Never changed. None of his attributes or his tools, all his tools, it remain constant. God has not changed, but I am thankful that he has changed me. Amen? And he keeps changing me. He keeps working on me. He patiently molds and makes me into what he wants me to be in life. A lot of people, you know, they change their mind about things and that. You know, one thing I'm going to say this, you know, and I'm saying this in a friendly, joking way, that in a marriage, to make a marriage happy, you know, the wife can change her mind at any time. Y'all do know this, don't you? But a man, the only time he can change his mind is if he has consent from his wife. That's the way it feels, don't it, men? It feels like the only time you can change your mind, you got to have a consent form from your wife. And then I give you permission to change your mind. That's the way it feels sometimes. But the world is changing. And it's changing rapidly. I know some of the old school parents that are here. There was a community of raising children. You know, your neighbors couldn't discipline you without having to deal with you as a parent. You just be thanking the neighbor for helping you raise your child. You know what I'm saying? You know, and the neighbors be like, I heard what you did, and just take out the bell and start whooping you with it, right? I mean, that was just what they've done back then. That was community raising. But now, a neighbor touch your child, who so-and-so did what? To who? Now you got them on the phone and you want to get them told. But they're, but my point is, times have changed. There's a time where, you know, when people get laid off, they had a trade. My grandfather got laid off at the railroad, and he had a trade. What was his trade? He was fixing lawnmowers. I mean, he developed a skill. And nowadays, you try to get a young person to do something, man, they're like, what you going to pay me for it? You know, or it's kind of like, well, I ain't doing it, but you can give me the money anyway. They don't want to do anything. When I was growing up, I told this story where, you know, I would cut grass, and I got me some decent money, you know. And the mistake that I made was counting in front of Bob. You know, and then all of a sudden he want to act like the government, and he want to try to take out taxes. Man, we're talking about some taxes. I should have did what his mother said, file my tax at the end of the year to get my money back. But he took money. I mean, but my point is, you know, people nowadays don't want to work. They just want everything given to them. But we are living in a day and time where everything is changing. Changing. Think about the computers you get. You get a computer or you get anything that's worth technology, you know, within 5 years, that would be obsolete. it would be changed. You know, I took my phone or whatever to, they like, looking at your phone like, that's a dinosaur phone. What is that? I'm like, it's a phone. It worked. And they look, and the people who's into that technology is like, that phone is not worth anything. But that's just how men love changes. We're constantly changes. You ever notice that you got to update your navigation system in your vehicle because the roads change and signs change and everything. I just saw a sign yesterday. I was over in St. Louis leaving one of the doctor's office that I was going to see, and I saw a road that wasn't there before. And it didn't need to be there, but it was a road nevertheless. It was like cut across the field just to put a name on the sign. And I recognized the name because it said Jonas Hubbard. I understand. I know who that is. But my point is, it was just a road just to make a sign. You see what I'm saying? Things are always changing and evolving. But the one thing I like is that we have to hold on to God's unchanging hand. Amen? Amen. We have to hold on to his unchanging hand. God's words and his plan stays the same. I don't care what happens. I don't care what things look like. His word and his plan still remains the same. Even if it fooled us, it didn't fool God. Amen. So I'm just here to say that I'm glad that God doesn't change his mind. And I'm glad that God is not sitting up in heaven saying, oh, man, shoot, I didn't think about that. I didn't know you was going to do that. Man, you kind of threw me on that one. So I tell you what, let me get back with you. All right. Y'all know we don't serve that kind of God. He already knows because he got foreknowledge. Amen. So he already knows. He's not sitting in heaven and saying, oh, man, you know what? My bad. I wrote it, but I didn't think that it was going to go that way. So let me rewrite this thing. Let me redo this thing. Because I didn't really calculate that you was going to go through this situation at this time. God is not like that, people. Let me get you to understand. He already knew you was going to do that. He already knew that the way and the path that you were going, that you were heading down that road. So what did he do? He had a plan for it. I was telling my wife, God knew that. God knows who's going to be saved and God knows who's not going to be saved. You know, and here's the thing. He knew who was going to accept his son and who wasn't going to accept his son. But aren't you glad that he sent the son anyway? Amen. I mean, aren't you glad that he sent his son to us anyway, despite knowing that people were not going to help, people were not going to do what they're supposed to be doing, people were going to sin anyway, people were going to have come to church when they feel like it because they want some me time. Aren't you glad God is not saying that to us, that God is not saying, I'm not going to take care of your problems today because I need some me time. In other words, I got the whole world to deal with. You only got your little problems here that you're dealing with. But I got all these people asking me these requests that is coming to me. They're constantly bothering me, harassing me about the same situation that I already told them what's going to happen. But they keep asking me the same thing. But let me get some me time. God don't talk like that, do he? God said, cast all of your cares. In other words, he said, whatever you got, bring it. He said, because I can handle it. He said, come on now. You want to see how big God's muscles is? Man, bring your problems to him and watch him deal with it. So here we have, you know, I'm glad that God's word remains the same regardless if somebody lied to you and say something that you know they said it and they saying that they didn't say it, but you know for a fact that they said it because it came out of their mouth. But here's the word. I'm glad that God's word never changes. The Bible says in Matthew 24:35 says, heaven and earth will pass away, but my word will never pass away. So that lets me know one thing. I can stand on God's word. He said that if heaven and earth will pass away. So that tells you that there is a possibility that heaven and earth could pass away, but his word will remain the same. That gives me confidence that I can hang on his word. Almost 4,000 some years since the Old Testament scripture was written, and over 2,000 years after Jesus, the Bible is still being read today. And its value still applies today. You know, and if you look at science, we are always learning new things. Technology has been changing. Math is changing. There's the way that we used to do math back in when we were in school, and some of you all are much older than me, the way that they're teaching my children how to do math now is different from the way we were taught. They was like, oh, no, we don't do it that way. What do you mean you don't do it that way? It 2 plus 2 is this. You know what I'm saying? But no, you don't say 2 plus 2. You got to be kidding me. It all adds up the same. But that's not how they want you to do it. What I'm saying is it's changing. Doesn't make sense, but it's just changing. Somebody ain't got nothing else to do, and they come up with these curriculums. You understand what I'm saying? And they come up with all this stuff, and ain't got nothing to do. Some of them, I even go to, they probably ain't got no children, and they doing all this stuff to send them home with us, to confuse us, and make us be like, argue with our children, you know, and try to tell us what is what. But here's the thing. Despite all that changing, God comes back and said, I'm the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. So we serve a God that will always remain the same. Sometimes we in our life, we go through these dry spells, you know, feeling hopeless and weak and struggling. Understand that God has already provided an answer to this life. The word of God has been given, and that is your answer. You need to understand that. Life is like being, you ever been on a boat before? You know, when you're on a boat, you know, the waves are kind of, it's always going like this, right? And it's constantly, there's constant, in other words, movement. But the word of God is like stepping off on solid ground. There is no movement. It's solid. It's not like being on that boat where it's wavering between every wind and doctrine that's going on. God's word is solid. It is there, and you can put your feet on it, and you can keep your balance. But we need to understand that we have confidence that God's word is unshakable. And we need to also understand that God is also a supplier of our needs. In Philippians chapter 4 and 19, it said, but my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. God takes care of every need we have. As the nation of Israel traveled in the wilderness, he provided for them so that their shoes did not wear out, and they did not go hungry. When their food supply ran low, God allowed manna to fall from heaven. Amen? He allowed it to fall from heaven. He gave them that. It was bread-like substance that was rich in nutrients and gave them a great source of energy. It was just like, it was just what they needed. Amen. Didn't have to go to the grocery store. Didn't have to cook it. He just went out there, picked it up, and was eating it. Imagine that, picking something up off the ground and eating it. But here's what I want you to get this understanding in your head. They were eating this manna, and then they got to the point where they got, you know how sometimes you get tired and you get bored about eating this. But see, here's the thing. They were tired of eating the manna, and they began to get bored with eating this manna. So it became very boring to them, and the people began to complain to Moses. But God is not obligated to meet our desires. He's only obligated to meet our needs. You may not like what's on the menu, but it is meeting your needs. Understand what I'm saying. The children of Israel was upset. They were mad because they got tired of eating manna. Same old manna every day. But it was meeting their needs. God is not obligated to meet your desire. They had a desire for something else. But God said, I'm meeting your needs. Your desire, you can go get something from somebody else, but I'm meeting your needs. The Apostle Paul's life was totally dedicated to Christ. Yet he sometimes faced serious trials and thought his life was over. God protected him and cared for him from a dark, cold prison cell. He wrote in the New Testament promising the congregation that God will provide for their needs. The only condition to this promise was that they would give themselves completely to God. You give yourself completely to God, he will supply your every need. Many times we expect God to answer our prayers and meet our needs, but we want to give God little in return to him and to the church. We're not doing much in church, but yet we want God to do all of this for us. But yet when God wants you to maybe participate in an activity, or take over this ministry here, or help the pastor out and come out and support the pastor, but yet you have this little bit of information and obligations, but yet you want God to do all of this for you. But yet you won't do this little bitty thing for God. And the reason why I say it's a little bitty thing, because we serve a big God, and whatever it is he asks us to do is nothing but a little bitty thing. God allows needs in our lives to drive us to him, not to run you away, but to drive us to him. So we will ask for his help to take care of that matter. He always does take care of our needs, and through the process of time, we often learn more about the purpose of God allowing those needs to come into our lives. You'll understand it as you get older. My son doesn't understand everything that he's doing right now. See, right now, he thinks he's just sitting over there with his uncle chilling, but he doesn't understand that I'm getting him ready for what God is going to do for him in his life. Right now, doesn't look like much, but I tell you one thing, he's going to remember it as he gets older. You understand what I'm saying? See, we don't know everything that's going on. But if you stay with the Lord, he will reveal it to you. It seems like our needs are so great, we need everything. Money for the house, the cars, the insurance, food and clothing and gas, utilities, and 1,000 other things that I probably haven't even touched on. It's like the rat running the wheel. It's just constantly running and never really seems to be getting anywhere. But I'm glad that no matter how great human needs are, God has the ability to supply our needs. God didn't promise to supply all of our wants, but he did say he will supply our needs. Americans are used to a lavish lifestyle. We are. We are because we like that materialistic thing. You know, the guys who were helping us reconstruct this and renovate this building, they were Mexicans. And one of the things that one of the Mexicans said to us, he said, all we want to do is work. He said, I don't care to have 2 or 3 vehicles. He said, I don't care about that. They have everything that we cared about. They have absolutely no desire of it. He told me this. He said he can care less about a 3-car garage, can care less about all of those things that we think of important. He said, I'm just looking for a good hard day's work. That's what he said. He wasn't concerned about all this other stuff that we put our minds and set things on. All he concerned about was just giving a good hard day's work. See, we have to understand, God can do much with little. Y'all remember the widow woman who had the oil? God did much with that little, didn't he? What about the little boy who had the little lunch of fish? Didn't God do much with little? Y'all mean to tell me that we serve a big God and you don't have confidence that he can take a little bit and make it into much? God can take this ministry right here and make it very powerful. Amen. All we got to do is focus on God, not attack each other. Because we've heard it said before that we wrestle not with flesh and blood, but with principalities. Why are we arguing with each other? This is what the devil wants us to do. Be so focused on going at it with each other that we are not doing the ministry that God has called us to do. All we're doing is focusing on trying to get this person told instead of doing what God is trying to tell us to do. See, we focus on the wrong thing. Devil be having us arguing over stuff that ain't supposed to be arguing over. Yeah, I'm gonna tell you something. I know this is may not, you may say, well, what this got to do with it? Watch Bugs Bunny. You ever mess with Bugs Bunny? Bugs Bunny will have you looking crazy. Bugs Bunny will have you looking crazy. He will mess your mind up. You will go to Bugs Bunny and your intent was to do him harm. Bugs Bunny will turn it on you and you will do your own self some harm. You will forget why you even came to him. You don't play with him. I'm trying to get y'all to understand, you don't mess with the devil. If you can hear him, you're too close. Amen? That's what I'm saying. If you are too, if you can hear Satan speaking, ladies and gentlemen, you brothers and sisters, you are too close. Amen? Because if you're that close and you can hear him, that means you're serving him. Because I'm not paying attention to him. My focus is on Jesus Christ. That's who I'm trying to get close to. Many times it seems impossible to imagine that our trials have any purpose. I know, because you're in it. I mean, and sometimes when you're in it, you're like, man, phew, everybody's picking on me. Man, this is just, I'm doing this. It may seem like everybody's picking on you. Ain't nobody picking on you. Your trials have a purpose. There is a reason. There's a reason why people go to school. They're trying to get an education. They're trying to get a degree. They're trying to learn a trade. They're trying to do something. So in school, they're learning something. In your trials, you are learning something. I'm learning in my trials that it does not drive me away from God, but it draws me near God. You ever got a whooping? I mean a real whooping. I ain't talking about no little pat. I'm talking about a whooping. You understand what I'm saying? You ever got a whooping? When you get a whooping from your parents, it make you go closer to them, right? You like, then they ain't no whooping themselves. That's the whole purpose, really. But you get closer to them, and you try to grab hold to them. My point is, the whooping didn't drive you away from them, but the whooping drove you closer to them. That's the many of you probably ain't got no whooping in your life. Probably don't even know what I'm talking about. But imagine for a moment, many people, our names mean something. Amen? Names mean something. Yeah, Jabez, okay? Jabez's name means cause pain. Imagine growing up and your name means pain. Some of us really carry out what our name means. I'm just saying. But imagine being made fun of by others. And you have this name, and your name means pain. You have to deal with this your whole life. Dealing with a name that means pain. But here's the thing. Your past does not have to determine your present. It doesn't have to determine your present. You can live with the name and the reputation that name makes for you. Or you can decide to live the way God has determined your life to be. I have come to the conclusion to live the greatest life I possibly can, to look for the good in life instead of looking at the pain in life. That's what I'm looking at. Everybody suffers. Everybody has problems. And we all have pains. I guarantee you there's nobody in here that's probably has never suffered or never had pain. Believe it or not, you may say, well, Pastor, we got some, your children are in here. You know, even as 5 and 6 years old, they even, according to them, they're having a tough time. I mean, you just let them tell it. I mean, they're having a tough time. I just have to say to my daughter, you tell her to go to bed. I'm just like, life is just so hard. It is just so unbearable. You got to go to bed at 8 o'clock because we fight with them in the morning trying to get up. It's like, Sabrina, get up. Jeremiah, get up. And all I hear, you know, most of the time my wife is getting them up. All I hear in the morning from my wife, I don't have time for this. I don't have time for this. I just want to hit the recording button for her so she won't have to say it no more and just go in the room just to say, I don't have time for this. I don't have time for this. Because that's what I hear in the morning. I don't have time for this. The kids don't want to get up. I'm like, oh, all you got to do is get up and go to school, sing A, B, C, D, E, F, G, and have a good day. Go outside and recess and learn your 1, 2, 3s and all of that type of stuff. But here it is, we got much bigger scale, but to them, that's terrible. That's horrible. It's just terrible being a child. I got to sit there and learn all of this. Jeremiah came home one time, he said, My brain is hurting. He wanted to take a nap. He was done. That first time he was in kindergarten, I'm going to tell you, he had a long day. He was used to half a day. He came home, he was done. He went down and laid on that couch, and he was like, I'm exhausted. He said, my brain. How did you in kindergarten? You got to be kidding me. We're talking about kindergarten. Y'all hear what I'm saying? That half hour got stretched to 8. You know, another half hour. But here's the thing. We suffer. Everybody has problems. Everybody has pain. The question, though, is how are we going to deal with it? So how do we deal with our children suffering through their little situation? Well, you do it like this. You know, even though that they don't want to go to bed early, you just tell them, hey, 8 o'clock, time to go to bed. That way, longer sleep. Amen? Get them in the bed early. So we all have problems. But if everybody dwelled on their past, nothing would be achieved. If we dwell on our problems, we dwell on all those negative things, nothing would be achieved. And I'm afraid that if we continue to focus on our past and focus on our problem, we have a hard time moving forward. We have allowed our past drama to cause us present day drama. We do. The Bible says that I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Then the Bible also talks about in Jeremiah 29:11 says that I know the plans I have for you. So even though you're going through something, God said, I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord. You know, here's the thing. When I was working down at St. Mary's Hospital in X-ray, I'm going to tell you something. It wasn't high school anymore. I was working out there. You know, parents like, you got to work. You got to get out there in school. And here's the thing. I had no clue. And I thought I was going to be the shortstop for the St. Louis Cardinals. I really did. Or playing center field. I thought I was going to be in the major leagues. That's where my mind was. Forget this school and job stuff. I was like, hey, I'm ready. I'm eligible. I'm ready to be on this team. But that wasn't the plan that God had for my life. In other words, God has a purpose for us. Some people, it is their purpose to be out there on that field. That's the way God designed them. But it wasn't mine. I wanted it to be. I was determined to make it in, but regardless how good you may be, that may not be the purpose that God has for your life. And if you talk to anybody that I grew up with, they'll tell you that I was a heck of a ball player. But in being that, it doesn't matter. That wasn't the plan and it wasn't the purpose that God had for my life. I had to come to the reality that, okay, well, hey, this is it. I took my little glove home and took my cleats and I said, okay, I'm job it is. After I got cut, you know. So I said, job it is. So your present does not have to determine your future. Understand this. Jabez had things to overcome in his life. He had siblings, and I'm sure that he had rivalries. I mean, we all can, if you have brothers and sisters, I'm sure you all have some sibling rivalries that you all had to deal with. Maybe you waited till they went to school early or whatever they were, and then you snuck out with their sweater on or something. You know, you put a big coat on, and you walking around, and you all wrapped up. They ain't never buttoned everything all the way up here, but you got everything buttoned up to here, and all of a sudden you at school, and they see you walking down. Ain't that my sweater? Hey, man, you see, you understand that, right? So my point is, you know, what my mother did, she just dressed us like, people thought my brother and I were twins. I'm like, man, we ain't twins. He's older than me. She just dressed us like, so we couldn't really fight over clothes anyway. But my point is, you have sibling rivals, and you got things, and Jabez is dealing with all of this, and he's dealing with the fact that his name means pain. But he was elevated above his brothers. It is an indication that he might be on a different track than his brothers, but yet he had to deal with the name pain. Jabez did not pray for God to just help him make it through his prayer. Lord, I pray that you would bless me indeed, enlarge my life, my territory, that your hand would be with me and that you would keep me from this evil. It might seem as though life had handed you a lemon. Listen to this. But people said, if you have a lemon, make lemonade. Amen? Your future has already been determined by God. You may not understand it. God had already determined my future. Think about it. We're talking about 25-some years ago. Okay? Close to almost 30. 25-some years ago. Had no clue what I was going to do with my life. No clue. Didn't know. But God knew. You understand what I'm saying? You know, when I graduated from high school, you know, yeah, there's a thought. My cousins and all of them, they started going into the military and everything. I was like, oh, man, that sounds like a good idea. And then I thought about it. I said, and God was like, that ain't where I'm telling you to go. And God, and here's what God, here's the thing that you all need to understand. I even took the test. Okay? Now, watch this. I had people around me. Didn't mean no harm. Didn't mean no harm. Said, that's not a problem. Go into the military. Go into the military. But God was saying to me, you better not go. God was saying, that's not where I want you to be. God frustrated that thing. Now, God didn't say military is bad for me. He just told me not to go. That's the difference. He didn't say it was bad. He did not say that. I don't want you all to get that out of this. He just said, that's not where you better go. Because that's not where I want you to be. Now, I know that you have respectable people around you saying that it's not a bad thing for you to do. Now, I wasn't pressured, but I did take the concept and I did think about it and I did take the test. But I didn't do anything further than that. My point is, you have to be where God wants you to be because God knows the plans for your life. Understand what I'm saying? He knows the plans for your life. So you have to do what God wants you to do. Now, Jabez, dealing with this name, but he did not allow his name to continue to be what is defined as pain. And one thing I like about it is that, you know, as a Christian, we should never give up. We should never give up. We should continue to fight. Well, it's not time to give up, but it is time to get up. Amen. And stand for what God is telling us to do. Even Peter told the lame man to rise up and walk. He told him to rise up and walk. That means get up and take your challenge that God is saying for you in your life. Many of us don't like that. We don't want to be challenged. We don't want to really, see, we want to hear from God, but we really don't want to hear from God. Because if you hear from God, God's going to tell you what you don't want to hear. God can change your pain into gain. See, you can change the outside of a package, but it won't change the inside of it. You can spend a lot of time doing that. Jabez prayed from the heart. That's what God wants. God wants your prayer from the heart, not from your mouth, from your heart. Your heart is where God is going to touch God. Amen? We need to also understand that we are in this life. And in this life, you're going to run into people who are going to be discouraged. You're going to minister to. And when you get in contact with these people, don't allow them to pull you down. Amen? Sometimes you got to act like you are a doctor. I did this where I had a person that was drilling me with the scriptures, and I was giving it back to them. But this is what I ended up doing. Because I noticed, like Jesus said, virtue left from me. I noticed that something was leaving me. This person was pulling a lot out of me. So I got to the point where I just said, here's a scripture for you. Read this. Then I gave him another scripture. I said, read this. I was giving them God's word. I wasn't elaborating. I was giving it to them, letting them read it for themselves. What I'm saying is nothing like a doctor giving you a prescription for medication. You allow it to, you go and you take that prescription to the pharmacist and you allow them to feel it. And once they feel it, you start taking it. And once you start taking it, immediately you're not going to see the results. But eventually, you'll start seeing it over time. Amen? You cannot allow people to drain you. Amen? Because they will do that. You cannot allow people to drain you. You are human. Even Jesus, when he was tempted by Satan, y'all remember that? He was drained. The angels from heaven had to come and minister to him. Are y'all understanding what I'm saying? I understood when someone was draining me and I felt they coming from my body, my spirit. And so I had to get to a point where I had to prescribe them some scriptures. Because it was really draining my spirit. And it's not that the person was doing it intentionally. It's just that they needed to know that they have to search the scriptures for themselves. That you can rightly divide the word of truth. We need to understand that God is there for us. That's why, I mean, I'm going to tell you, I'm an old school person. Y'all have to understand, I have an old soul. I'm just there. But I just love the song that says, what a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. And then it says, oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All, can y'all finish that? All because we do not. Everything. Sometimes, y'all, you know, when we pray, let me say this. When you pray, what you praying for? Y'all know something gonna happen. Amen? That, isn't that why you're praying in the first place? Let me say this to you. There was a minister, I don't know what you call it. I meant to talk to my aunt before I did this message, but nevertheless, I remember when I was in school, there was a thing that you could knit, okay? And you can knit. So this minister was talking to this woman, and he tried to give her some words of comfort. She gave him cold shoulder, and she kept working away at her knitting, you know. She kept working away at it. She was developing a picture on one side of the material, and finally she said, if God was really doing his job, my life wouldn't be in such a mess that it's in. Okay, she went there. And I'm going to tell y'all, that's the kind of attitude ministers get. When somebody really is stirring about what's going on in their life, they'll bring it to a minister just like that. Very raw and nasty. They just don't care. So the minister, being spiritual, stepped over and he took the knitting thing from this lady that she was working on. He took it from her hands. And looking at it on the underside of it, which was a tangle of cut threads, and he said, I don't know why you're bothering to do this. It looks like nothing but a jumble of meaningless threads. She took it back from him, and she basically said, you're looking at it from the wrong side. And it's, she said that it's on the other side that you can see the design that I'm working on. He said, he said, that's right. He said, you don't see how God is doing it for you. He said, see, just like you just told me that on this side, I can't see the picture. It just looks like threads bundled up. But he said, but she said, you, if you turn it over, you'll see the real picture of what it's supposed to look like. He said, well, if you take God and you understand what you're working on right now, God is doing that same thing in your life. If you just understand what's going on the other side, you would understand the picture that he is painting for you, that he is designing and that he is developing for you. This is how we as ministers have to bring it to people. Get them to understand that you're looking at it the wrong way. If you can tell me in the natural that I'm not looking at something right, surely I can tell you you ain't looking at it right in the spiritual. So we need to understand that you need to look at things from God's perspective. And we need to understand that we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. When Paul was in prison, he wrote this. His circumstances were bad. It wasn't pleasant. But yet, he penned these words on the people, you know, of God. Rejoice in the Lord always. Telling them to rejoice and be thankful. And knowing that God will be there for you. He will give you the strength to continue on. The circumstances of your life may appear unbearable, but there is hope in Christ Jesus in your life. You need to understand that. You need to grab hold to the Lord. Let me say this to you. In the book of Matthew chapter 6, I don't know if I put that up there, but I want you to understand this. In Matthew chapter 6 and verse 25, it says, I tell you, do not worry. Don't worry about your life and what you would eat or drink. And don't worry about your body and what you will wear. Isn't there more to life than eating? Aren't there more important things for the body than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They don't plant or gather crops. They don't put away crops in the storerooms, but your Father who is in heaven feeds them. Aren't you worth much more than they are? Can you add even 1 hour to your life by worrying? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the wildflowers grow. They don't work or make clothing. But there is what I tell you. But here is what I tell you. Not even Solomon in all his glory was dressed like one of these flowers. If that is how God dresses the wild grass, won't he dress you even better? After all, the grass is here only today. Tomorrow it is thrown into the fire. Your faith is so small. So don't worry. Don't say what we'll eat or what we'll drink or what we'll wear. People who are ungodly run after all those things. Your Father who is in heaven knows that you need them. But put God's kingdom first. Do what he wants you to do. Then all of those things will also be given to you. So don't worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. In other words, it says, I'm saying that if you pray, don't worry. If you're going to worry, then why pray, Brother Moore? It just doesn't make sense to me. If you're going to pray, don't worry about it. And if you're going to worry, then why even bother to pray? You need to understand something. Jesus told his disciples that they should pray always. But one thing I like about it is that you remember when James was killed. And man, he was killed and I believe he was beheaded. And then Herod saw that it made the people feel good. And so Herod thought enough to say, well, since the people feel good about it, let me do Peter the same way. He said, they put Peter in prison, but I can't do it now because there's something going on right now that I can't do it at this very moment. But put him in the oven because I'm going to get him later. But the church heard about Peter being put in prison. They didn't do anything about James when he was beheaded. But man, when they heard that Peter was put in prison, these people got together and they said, we got to pray. We got to pray. Man, let me tell you, the church came together in unity and they began to pray for Peter. Peter was shackled in prison, had a bunch of guards all around him because they knew that if you are a child of God, you are certainly a threat. They know what time it is. They know what Jesus did when he was in the tomb. So they had to have more guards to watch Peter. But the church started praying for Peter. And they prayed for him. And Peter was chained. He was in prison, handcuffed. But let me tell you, when the church began to pray for this brother that was in trouble, he didn't need nobody to come unlock the keys. God sent an angel to come and destroy and then unlock the handcuffs. Peter walked out of the prison, came to prayer meeting where the people were. Let me tell you something. That's the God we serve. What I'm trying to tell you that if you pray, don't worry about it. And if you're going to pray, why worry about it? Put it in God's hands. Let God deal with it. If you gave it to him, know it's going to be done. When my son brings me something to do, he said, Daddy, I'm having a problem with this. Can you fix it? He gives it to me. I take it. I'm working on it. You know what he's doing in the meantime? He's dancing. He's rejoicing because he knows that he put it in my hands. He knows what I'm going to do with it. He knows that when I give it back to him, it will be in operation. God said we should be like these children. Didn't he not say that? We should be like these children. These children know they have confidence in their parents. They have full confidence. You can't tell them anything. You can't waver them. You can't shake them. You can't tell them something different. All they know is that my daddy said, and they'll stand on what their daddy said. Even though you try to get them to waver, they say, no, no, my daddy said. This is the way we need to be. We need to get to the point where somebody tell us something foolishness. My daddy said. Even Jesus was saying, Jesus gave you the biblical term. It is written. But I'm going to give you the 2019 version. My daddy, put it plain and simple, said this. And I'm standing on this. Jesus said, it is written. He let it be known, my daddy wrote it already. I already know what the word says. Matter of fact, I am the word. I know what it says. You ain't talking right, devil. We need to know and stand on God's word and know what he is saying in our life. If God said you're going to get it, believe me, his word has went out. And it's going to go to the area of where he said you was going to get it. And you are going to get it. Believe that. Even though it don't look like it. Even though nothing is really looking promising right now. But this is where your faith in God kicks in. Even if it's the size of a mustard seed, I don't care. It's still a mustard seed. It may be small, but it's still a seed, and it still has the capability of growth. Your faith may be small, but it's still faith. You look up the definition of faith, it is still faith. Use what you got. It may be small, it may be big, but it doesn't matter. You got it. And you need to use it. And don't let anybody tell you anything different. Sometimes you got to get an attitude and let people know, this is what I'm standing on. This is what I'm believing. And I ain't changing my mind. God has not told me anything different. We need to understand that we serve an awesome God. He is a God that will take care of your needs. You a child of God? Let me tell you something. You got some of the best coverage there is. Ain't paying on nothing, but yet everything is covered. Amen? Y'all ever seen that Farmers Insurance, and they get all kind of scenarios of everything that's going on, and they tell you, you know, this type of scenario and that, and they say that's covered too. Well, let me tell you about God's coverage. That's covered too. All of it. You got the full package. Trust in God. Know that he will supply your needs. So be encouraged today. Amen? Amen. Open up the doors of the church. We're extending an invitation to Christ. Whosoever will, let him come. Whosoever will, let him come. We're extending an invitation to Christ. What a friend. Thank you. Let us all stand. Stand with me. Stand with me. To him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and ever. Amen.